This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, August 28, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Privacy concerns by some area residents have led to the City of Grand Rapids creating new oversight rules for the police department's license plate reader system. WGVU's David Limbaugh explains.
Grand Rapids City Manager Mark Washington will issue an administrative order by mid-September, placing the Grand Rapids Police Department's automated license plate reader system under the city's surveillance technology policy. The order requires any future purchase, renewal, or expansion of the system to go through a Public Safety Committee review and City Commission approval, consistent with the city's current process when acquiring other surveillance technologies. Washington's decision comes after presentations from GRPD, Flock Safety, and public comments at Tuesday's City Commission meetings, where more than a dozen residents expressed privacy concerns over the use of Flock cameras within the city. In a statement, Washington said, quote, "Our objectives are simple. We want a safe community, effective tools for policing, and we want the community to trust that use of those tools follow clear rules and strong oversight. Strong transparency is essential to building and maintaining that trust." End quote. I'm David Limbaugh.
Lakeshore Habitat for Humanity and a Holland church are planning a new housing development in Holland Township, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The proposed housing development is located north of the Calvary Church building on James Street, where Lakeshore Habitat will build 17 affordable homes and the church would add 6 transitional homes in partnership with local ministries.
Habitat homes will be owner-occupied, and we specifically work with households that earn between 30 and 80% of the area median income, and right now in Ottawa County, there's a need for about 3,000 new for-sale units for that population.
Dave Rosman is Lakeshore Habitat Executive Director.
They work in our community, but often are living paycheck to paycheck because of the high cost of rents. And so it's an opportunity for them to own a home, build some equity, and then really put roots down in our community.
Pending approval, construction on the church property should begin in the summer of 2027. Rosman says Habitat is focusing on building similar partnerships and has 2 other donated properties in pre-development.
The community as a whole, especially in Western Michigan, is seeing the need for housing and is causing them to ask, okay, how can I help? Yeah, there's a lot of churches that have a lot of property, and so it's a great resource that they can use to better the community.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Labor Day travelers are facing higher costs, but that doesn't appear to be affecting travel plans. AAA says booking data shows strong demand for travel. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Despite higher travel costs, Labor Day getaways remain plentiful as we close out the summer. AAA says demand is strong for destinations across the U.S., Canada, and Europe. AAA also says travelers are facing higher fuel, airfare, and hotel costs this year. Adrienne Woodland, spokesperson for AAA The Auto Club Group, says, quote, "Labor Day has long been a popular time for a final summer getaway, and travelers continue to prioritize vacations with family and friends," end quote. With that, AAA booking data shows average domestic airfare is up 2% compared to last year, averaging $750 for a round-trip ticket. Travelers are also paying more for accommodations. Domestic hotel bookings are up 9% compared to last Labor Day weekend, while international hotel bookings are 12% more expensive. If you're hitting the road, it's still too early to know just what gas prices will be on Labor Day weekend, but current market trends suggest motorists will pay more than they did a year ago. Michigan's average price of gasoline on Labor Day of 2025 was $3.30 per gallon. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Investigators are looking for the cause of a destructive fire in a vacant Grand Rapids church built over 130 years ago. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the Seventh-day Adventist building on Oak Street has heavy damage after a fire that started Wednesday night and burned for hours.
Damn! Everything's gone. Everything.
Grand Rapids firefighters were still on the scene when Antonio Todd took a bicycle ride past the smoldering church on Oak Street and posted what he saw on Facebook.
Everything is gone. Yeah, everything is gone. There's no church left.
The fire was reported at about 11 Wednesday night, but Fire Department Captain Ryan Sparks believes it started much earlier.
This fire burned a long time before we were even notified, potentially hours before we were notified.
Thomas DeBorga watched as firefighters tried to save the building.
Pouring water into the top of that building. It's not calming down. Every time they douse one part, another part comes back on fire.
We thought we had it knocked down and it would show up someplace else.
The LaGrave Christian Reformed Church across the street bought the building in 2017. 2017. Nearby resident Leonard Brown says they were planning a facility for homeless people.
They were in process of making this building into some kind of homeless resource center.
But Captain Sparks says the building has major damage.
The roof has collapsed. The main cupola, which was on the roof in the center, has collapsed. So there's significant damage to the building.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Ottawa County jobs are in high demand, but a new report reveals 1 in 5 new hires walk out within months of employment. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us what steps county leaders are taking to lower the turnover rate.
Interim Human Resources Director Sarah Allen recently told the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners that while county positions remain highly sought after, with nearly 6,000 applications submitted for 209 job postings last year, maintaining those employees is challenging.
Those 209 job postings represent 209 moments when a hiring manager realized that a valuable team member was leaving.
According to Allen, the new hire turnover rate is almost 21%, those being employees who cleared the application process and accepted county positions but left within 12 months.
Again, this is a statistic that we started looking at more closely more recently. We're actually a little unpleasantly surprised to see how high it was.
Allen says multiple variables are likely contributing to the early exodus, but explained more research needs to be done to understand why.
So this is an area where we are going to be bringing more focus, more attention. And so this is really, like I said, something that was kind of like a little surprising to us and certainly an area of focus moving forward.
The report also noted that 80 employees were promoted last year, helping combat turnover among tenured staff by promoting from within. I'm David Limbaugh.
The first home match is set for Grand Rapids' new premier men's soccer club. WGVU's Dee Morrison has updates from Athletic Club Grand Rapids.
The first home match in AC Grand Rapids history will happen Friday, March 19th, 2027. The opponent still to be announced. The match will be the first sporting event at the new 8,500-seat Amway Stadium. Crews broke ground on the project in spring 2025. The 130,000-square-foot, 8-acre stadium features 16 field-level premium suites, a club level with concessions and dining, tiered general seating, and an outdoor courtyard connecting the venue to the surrounding neighborhood. AC Grand Rapids will open its MLS Next Pro season on the road with a February game as part of the league's condensed sprint season, running through May. The league then shifts to a new calendar running summer to spring with an 8-week winter break, aligning with Major League Soccer. ACGR's first season includes 14 regular matches, with 7 played at home at Amway Stadium, followed by playoffs and the Pro Cup. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Michigan's Attorney General is joining another multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration. Colin Jackson reports this one concerns public health grants.
The lawsuit is over funding delivered under Title 10 of the Public Health Service Act. Title 10 dollars typically go toward reproductive health care for low-income or underinsured Americans. Think services like contraception or fertility care. This year, the federal government is trying to put restrictions on that funding to match the Trump administration's goals like ending inclusion practices and gender-affirming care. Michigan and several other states argue that's illegal because the right process wasn't followed before announcing the conditions, the federal health department overstepped its authority, and the conditions are arbitrary. Michigan has joined over 60 legal actions against the federal government since President Donald Trump retook office last year, according to the state attorney general's office. I'm Colin Jackson.
Secretary of State and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Jocelyn Benson laid out her health care priorities during a stop in Marquette on Thursday. Benson said residents in the UP shouldn't have to travel hundreds of miles to receive care because clinics or hospitals have closed. She wants to make sure every Michigander can access affordable health care in every zip code in the state. She said her opponent, Republican Congressman John James, can't say the same.
His actions speak for themselves. He voted three times. To kick Michiganders off their health care, helping Donald Trump pass the largest Medicaid cut in American history.
Benson said she also wants to create an independent prescription drug affordability board and $5,000 caregiver tax credits. She stood in front of a building that used to house Marquette's Planned Parenthood Clinic. It closed last year due to cuts in federal funding. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Director Ridley Scott is back with a new science fiction drama, The Dog Stars, with Jacob Elordi and Josh Brolin, with a post-apocalyptic story. Finding Emily is a British romantic comedy that's opening this week, as well as Coyote vs. Acme, which blends Warner Brothers animation with live-action comedy. Those films, plus three smaller pictures, are on the slate for this week's Movie Talk, with WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C.
And one of the greatest living film directors, Ridley Scott, has a new film out called The Dog Stars. Of course, Ridley Scott did the original Alien and the second Aliens film. He also did Gladiator and so many other movies over the decades. And here he has one called The Dog Stars with Jacob Elordi and Josh Brolin. And what little I can guess about it from just seeing a trailer is that this is a some type of a science fiction film that's maybe post-apocalyptic.
It's definitely post-apocalyptic. It's based off of a 2012 bestseller called The Dog Stars, and then sort of written for film by someone else, then sort of adapted and picked up by Ridley Scott as well, at the helm, as you said. And yeah, so there's essentially like sort of an influenza flu pandemic that kind of wipes out a lot, of the world, or the whole world pretty much, and you're kind of left with the survivors. And this pretty much takes place entirely in Colorado. So, Jacob Elordi's character is sort of lives on like this kind of small airport in, this offshoot of Colorado outside the city. Him and Josh Brolin, kind of they working together. They're kind of surviving together. He takes his little plane trip. They've got a little plane that, Hig, Jacob Elordi's character, takes up and, does little routes and goes into the city and gets some supplies that he's got stashed somewhere. And there's sort of just like this brewing unknown of like what's out there. There's potentially these, sort of groups of people that have kind of come together that are, sort of terrifying, ravaging whatever is left of, the world. And again, they're just survivors. There's no more, medical professionals or anything like, that could help save anyone else. And then there's sort of this calling out on a radio about this thing called Grand Junction that, is sort of enticing, but, he doesn't necessarily want to leave yet until, maybe some certain events kind of force him to potentially try and see if he can go find whatever this Grand Junction is. And is it safe? And can you even trust, where you're going? And so, yeah, sort of this post-apocalyptic Ridley Scott film. Margaret Qualley's in it as well. Alison Janney, Guy Pearce. So the
all
cast,
great actors.
All great actors. The cast is totally stacked. And I think, from what I've heard too, initially, the book itself I've heard is pretty it's pretty slow, but this film I think just sort of coasts through, and I think from early reactions I think that's how people feel about it. But yeah, I genuinely love a Ridley Scott movie. So
also we have Finding Emily, which is a British romantic comedy.
Yeah, 87% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's directed by Alicia McDonald, who's sort of her debut, but it's super fun. I just love the premise of this movie. So essentially, this, this kid in uni, he meets this girl named Emily at a bar. They exchange numbers. He's really into her. The next day, he realizes that he either lost a digit, missing a digit, or she didn't give him her whole number. And so he, essentially now goes on this journey to find this Emily, and he's willing to go to whatever, sort of path he needs to get there. And he comes along, he's met by sort of this other student who she is in psych class and needs to essentially prove that, for her assignment that romance causes, madness essentially. And so she gets this like perfect candidate to, write her report on. And so she comes up next to him and essentially is like, yeah, I'll help you find Emily, but obviously she's, doing her report on it all. And, he goes to the extent of like emailing all of the Emilys at the college, but then like doesn't BCC the email. So then he just essentially started a whole group chat with 318 Emilys or whatever. So it's just this fun little like romantic comedy. It looks super fun, and people, is he crazy for all this or is he actually in love?
And then we have Coyote versus Acme, which this is a movie that was made years ago, and it was shelved by Warner Brothers, basically put into a vault for tax reasons. And that's all I know about it. And now it's on the big screen, and a lot of people for several years have been clamoring for this movie to be released. Of course, it's based on a humorous article that was, it was a sort of a phony, fake, contrafact article in The New Yorker about a lawsuit that the Coyote from Warner Brothers cartoons brings against Acme, the manufacturers of the dynamite that's always blowing them up in those cartoons. And this is a combination live-action animated film. And it was like, for tax reasons, it was basically shelved, but now it's here. So tell us about this.
Yeah, no, you pretty much hit it. I mean, it was finished. The movie was finished in 2022. And then in November of 2023, Warner Brothers decided to shelve it essentially exactly for a tax write-off, despite the fact that they were testing it with audiences and it was getting amazing reactions. And so, you know, the director Dave Green and John Cena, who's in the film, sort of went to social and were posting about their opinions on the whole thing. And then, this sort of like online presence brew around this film of like, this thing needs to be released, you know, and it is sort of funny, like the PR around this and sort of, you know, the parallels to this movie, right? Like, yeah, Coyote is suing essentially the CEO of Acme for all of the, not only dynamite, but everything he purchases from that company in order to catch Roadrunner and not, you know, none of it ever goes well. And to have, you know, him versus a CEO essentially in court for this movie and then having the CEO of Warner Brothers shelve this movie in order to have a tax write-off is sort of, you know, hilarious, but amazing. And yeah, I mean, it's 95% critic score, 92% audience score. And it is that hybrid of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Looney Tunes Back in Action, Space Jam, right? Will Forte is a lawyer in this movie and I think comes alongside Coyote. And so, yeah, I think, you know, there's this like online presence that I think is really going to drive this movie. It potentially is even the biggest movie of this weekend. And I'm very excited to sit down and watch it.
I hope it is. And then we've got Idiots, which is a comedy with Dave Franco and O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Yeah, they play like two essentially broke drivers who they get paid to drive people around and they get hired to essentially drive this rich kid from, you know, wherever he needs to go to rehab. And they take it, and in the process of them essentially driving him to rehab, you know, they are hit and you know, chased by just random groups of people who are either after this teenager or people that they've just pissed off on their journey. And so it's sort of this like, you know, fun comedy, action comedy, if you will.
And then to close things out, we have two horror films, one called It Ends and then another called Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy is sort of based on like, you know, kind of like your Barney super friend. You know, he's like a kid's child program buddy. Everybody loves Buddy. But then some kids start going missing and, you know, whether or not it's Buddy's fault. And then there's one kid that sort of like, you know, defies, you know, the what Buddy wants and all that stuff. And then, it, you know, sort of all spirals from there. You've got a mom with, you know, who's got a missing kid. And I mean, it's just a horror comedy that's, you know, essentially weaponizing the kids' TV nostalgia. And then It Ends is sort of that psychological, you know, mind bender. You've got four friends who, you know, graduate college. They go on a late night drive to go get food. And essentially they turn onto a two-lane road that just never ends. No matter where they stop and whatever, there's something in the darkness that's maybe following them or they can't comprehend, but they literally just, no matter how far they drive, the road will not end.
The trailer is a very disturbing trailer for me.
Yeah.
Because the idea of being on the road, out in the middle of the wilderness, and you're in your automobile and it's moving, but you don't really have a grasp on everything that's happening. You're not in control of anything.
Yeah, and I mean, it's 92%, you know, certified fresh and Rotten Tomatoes, and it's sort of this like low budget indie horror that, yeah, you're not in control of, and you're just going to literally get in the car and go for a ride. So it looks super.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, August 28, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.